things. A couple of years ago, I think it was, Hannity said that there is no journalism anymore. I didn't really understand what he was driving at, but over the years since he first said that, it has become more and more clear to me that he understood the situation better than I did at that point. There really is no journalism anymore. Nobody goes to a journalism school so that they can develop an ability to figure out the who, what, when, where, and why of a news story and then write it effectively for public consumption, explaining to people what happened, who did it, where they did it, when they did it, and why they did it. Now, journalism has a narrative. Instead of so-called journalists trying to figure out the five W's, they look at every story and compare it to the narrative framework in which the story must be presented to the public. Several years ago, there was a story, became quite the thing in the newspapers and on TV. Warren Buffett pays a lower tax rate than his secretary. Yeah, this is so damned unfair. This is criminal. Warren Buffett's tax rate is lower than the tax rate his secretary pays. Now, the story had to go along with the leftist narrative, straight out of the Columbia School of Journalism, if you will, that rich people don't pay enough in taxes. Come on, that idea is gospel to the left. Rich people don't pay enough in taxes. Now, never mind that the top 2% of taxpayers, we're talking income taxpayers in this country, pay 70% of all income taxes. It takes a journalist to uncover that. Tell you what, give me 1 second here. I'm going to go into the research. Okay, research done. Now I'm going to give you some actual statistics on who pays what taxes. In this country, this is from a couple of years ago. It takes them a while to compile on this. A few years ago, people who made less than $30,000 a year accounted for 44% of all tax returns that were filed. 44% of all tax returns, people making less than $30,000 a year. They paid 1.4% of all the income taxes that were paid. If you made between, let's say, $30,000 and $50,000, you were part of the 17.6% figure that filed tax returns. You paid 4% of all the income taxes collected by the federal government. Let's just skip to the end here. If you made $2 million or more, that group filed 0.1% of all income tax returns. And they paid 20.4% of all income taxes. Let me flesh that out just a little bit more for you. If you make over $250,000 a year, okay, income, over $250,000 a year, you amount to 2.4% of all tax returns that are filed. 2.4%. But you pay 49% of all the income taxes collected by the federal government. 49%. If you make between $15,000 and $30,000, you are 20.8% of all the tax returns filed. You pay 1.5% of all the income taxes. Okay, point made. The rich don't pay their fair share. So about this Warren Buffett thing. Warren Buffett has a lower tax rate than his secretary. Now, if you're a member of the blue media, okay, the blue media, Democrat media, You're just going to say, wow, boy, that fits the narrative perfectly. Rich people just don't pay enough in taxes. And you're going to take that little statement that Warren Buffett has a lower tax rate than his secretary. You're going to throw it into the newspapers, and that's as far as you're going to go. I mean, it works perfectly with the narrative. If you are a journalist, which Sean Hannity correctly described as not existing anymore, you know, I love it when the Atlanta Journal-Constitution puts an ad online and says, support our journalists. What fucking journalist? I don't see any journalist over there. Pardon me, I really meant to say what freaking journalists. But a journalist would have said, huh, I wonder if that's true that Warren Buffett pays a lower tax rate than his secretary. Let me try to work this out. Maybe we ought to look at what kind of taxes Warren Buffett is paying and what kind of taxes his secretary is paying. And a little research, not much, would have shown you his secretary is paying income taxes. She's filing an income tax return. Warren Buffett is not salaried. He does not have a salary, Berkshire Hathaway. He has investments. His income comes from his investments. Now, wait a minute. If your income comes from investments, then it's not taxed as an income tax. It's taxed as a capital gains tax. And golly, looky here. The capital gains tax rate is lower than the income tax rate paid by his secretary. That's the story here. Not that Warren Buffett pays a lower tax rate than his secretary. A journalist would have said, but it's a different type of tax with a lower rate. But no, that would ruin the narrative. Can't do that. We have to leave people with the impression that Warren Buffett pays less in income taxes than his secretary does. And the way we do that is to just kind of fudge it a little bit and say, Warren Buffett is paying a lower tax rate than his secretary, even though they're two completely different types of taxes. This is what's happened to journalism, folks. These journalists, these blue media journalists, have this template that they have to use when they're writing a story. Rich people don't pay enough taxes. That's part of the template. America suffers under systemic racism. That's part of the template. Republicans don't like poor people. That's part of the template. Blacks are oppressed. That's part of the template. Every news story has to be written to fit that narrative. And here is another part of the narrative that the left will try to put over on you. And that is, if the federal government doesn't take this money away from rich people in the form of taxes, then rich people will just squirrel that money away and it won't do anything for our economy. It'll just be hoarded somewhere. Stacks of $100 bills being hoarded by rich people who don't want to pay their taxes. Of course, that's not the way it happens at all. Not even close. If a rich person, an evil rich person, probably white, is allowed to keep $100,000 away from the tax collectors, what is the evil white taxpayer going to do with that $100,000? He's not going to get 10 stacks of $10,000 in cash and bury it in the backyard. Maybe he'll use it to buy something. Maybe he'll use it to buy a nice car or some furniture for his office or his home, in which case that $100,000 is going to support a business somewhere, and that business will end up using that $100,000 to buy materials from other businesses, which will support them and their employees, or use that $100,000 to pay its own employees, who end up paying taxes on it, of course, or using that $100,000 to expand the business so that they can hire even more people. I mean, the bottom line here, folks, and it doesn't take a Wharton graduate to figure this out, that $100,000 that the evil white rich person is allowed to keep is then put into our economy, where it works to support other businesses and their employees. Now, let me see if I can find a way to phrase this. I think Adam Smith called it the invisible hand. Just type the invisible hand into Google and you get this. The invisible hand is a metaphor for the unseen forces that move the free market economy. The constant interplay of individual pressures on market supply and demand causes the natural movement of prices and the flow of trade. I found a graphic, and it shows a picture of a hand. It says invisible hand. On the hand, it says competition and self-interest act as an invisible hand that regulates the free market. Then you got these little four fingers and a thumb. Profit-seeking producers will make more. The needs of society will be automatically met. Government does not get involved. Competition keeps quality high. Competition keeps prices low. I'm not going to belabor the point. You can do some research on your own. But that's the invisible hand of the free market working. That's what happens to the $100,000 that the evil, rich, white man is allowed to keep. But there's also something called the government hand instead of the invisible hand. Can we go back to that graphic I was telling you about? The government hand. When the government takes the money through taxes, there is no profit-seeking motive out there that would cause producers to actually make more. The needs of society are not automatically met. What is met is the needs of politicians. What politicians need in order to grow their power. And unlike the invisible hand, with the government hand, government is completely and totally involved. There is no competition with government. None that keeps the quality high. That's why government services usually pretty much suck, worse than the worst McDonald's drive-through you've ever seen. And there is no competition to keep prices low, because when the government gets a hold of that $10,000 or that $100,000, they're just going to spend it as they see fit to enhance their power to please certain constituencies, so that they can keep getting reelected. Competition, keeping quality high and prices low, doesn't exist. Now, it would take a journalist, folks, an actual journalist, to take a look at these blue morons bleeding all the time. The rich need to pay their fair share. Why? So government can have that money? So government can have that money and take profit-seeking producers out of the picture so that the needs of society are not automatically met, only the need of constituencies. So there is no competition to keep quality high. There is no competition to keep prices low. That's why we need to keep the money out of the hands of evil, rich, white people and not let them spend it and invest it as they see fit. Okay, a couple of random thoughts as I'm approach